Welcome to the BBB National Programs Podcast, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics and self-regulation with business and industry leaders. Together, we seek to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Better Series Podcast. I'm James Lee. For those of us of a certain age, no Saturday morning was complete without a visit to the home of George Jetson and Jane, his wife, his boy Elroy, daughter Judy, his dog Astro, and his flying car. The idea that we could ride in flying cars without being pilots was truly the height of science fiction, except, as is so often the case when imagination runs into reality, a group of engineers said, "Hey, I can do that." Today, unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, come in all shapes and sizes, and for a wide variety of public and private sector purposes. And while we can't use a drone to commute to spacely sprockets yet, we're well down the road to incorporating UAVs into everyday life. The question is, how soon? And in what ways will businesses adopt this technology? Here to help us answer that and many other questions about drones are two leading experts. Ed Albrego is the president and CEO of the Center for Innovative Technology, a nonprofit that helps entrepreneurs launch high-growth technology companies, and Sharon Rossmark, an FAA-certified drone pilot and CEO of Women and Drones, a global platform for women who are helping to shape the drone industry. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Well, let's dig in, and Sharon, I'm going to start with you. I have to believe that what most business people know about drones, they learn by watching television or the movies. But since you're a certified drone pilot and you've been involved in helping this sector grow, where are we on, let's call it, the George Jetson scale? Is it time to invest in building a drone pad at our small business parking lot, or are we, so to speak, still in the hangar? So where are we in this continuum?
Well, we're somewhere in between, so thank you for the question. We're actually at a unique inflection point in aviation, and actually never in our history have we seen such a massive adoption at such a rapid pace of new aircraft taken to the sky. So that shows you that there's a lot of interest in, as well as a lot of opportunity. Right now, the state of the drone market is that we have over 1 million registered drones with the FAA, which is a requirement now. Certain size drones have to be registered with the FAA. And since the introduction of a commercial pilot certification over the last 4 years, actually it's coming up on 4 years, there are well over 160,000 commercial drone pilots. So that kind of gives you an opportunity on how the state of the market is now, but where it's going, because so many people are engaging in this opportunity.
I want to dig into that just a little bit. Where you said there's the million, you know, registered drones. Where do you draw that line? What is it that causes that drone to have to be registered with the FAA versus the one that I bought at Sharper Image and ran around the backyard for about 15 minutes before it got stuck on the roof? Where's that bright line between a commercial drone and a residential drone?
So the FAA has actually standards and requirements around registration, and so it's drones over a certain weight, and most of the ones that you're going to buy and fly around in your backyard outside are going to qualify. So it's over 0.5 ounces up to and up above.
Wow. Well, good thing mine's still stuck on the roof. Ed, from the perspective of someone who helps businesses innovate and integrate tech in order to grow their business, you know, what is the problem that businesses are trying to solve by integrating drones into it? What is it we're trying to do by adopting this new technology so rapidly?
Well, there's a number of problems and opportunities, as you said, that we're seeing in the commercial. And when I mean commercial, those people or companies such as Wing, the Alphabet company that started package delivery, or other ones. And they seem to break down into three or four categories. Speed. Can I use a drone to map a field for ag tech quicker? Can I deliver packages quicker with them? Safety, when you look at companies that are using them in areas, and we'll get to it shortly, any type of infrastructure inspection. Think about it with towers, power lines, where you normally have to put a person several hundred feet up on a tower in a dangerous situation. Fly a drone. to take a look at how that trot tower is from an infrastructure point of view. And then safety. Anything that involves problems that deal with safety. Where can I use drones to assess a situation quicker than others? So speed, safety, management, inspection management, that's where we're seeing a lot of application right now.
Yeah, Sharon, I know, pardon the pun, there are a lot of pilot projects that are underway. And, you know, Ed mentioned Wing. I know that Virginia Tech here in Virginia has been deeply involved in some of these early projects. What have we learned in the course of these projects that are in these early days of trying to commercialize drones? And what is it we still have to learn for this to become more commercially available?
Well, what we've learned is that it is a viable option as the technology and the infrastructure to support drones evolve. We've also learned that it can be instrumental in not only saving lives, but then also in reducing costs as well as improving employee safety. So to Ed's point, many companies are incorporating drones because of what was coming out of the proof of concepts. And a couple of examples, in addition to the one that you mentioned, is public safety. Numerous public safety, meaning fire and police organizations around the country, have been incorporating drones into their work. So whether it's finding a lost child or a senior citizen who may have wandered off, the possibilities are endless. The medical package delivery of organs and blood bags are examples. UPS recently teamed up with CVS and have already began testing the delivery of prescriptions to CVS customers. And even this past summer, McDonald's teamed up with Uber Eats in San Diego to test food delivery. So the learnings are vast and across numerous industries.
And if I could, there's also another, if you will, slice where there has to be a lot of learning is community engagement about the use of drones. A lot of people have very, very legitimate concerns about privacy with drones flying above them with all sorts of advanced sensors on board the drone. Noise is one of those issues. So one of the things the industry is looking at and learning as it scales is how do you engage the community? Define community in a number of different ways. But we see that across a lot of tech industries that we invest in. When you start seeing scaling that goes quickly, community engagement, community involvement is very critical, or you tend to wind up with a regulatory environment that tries to slow or cap any progress you're trying to make with this new technology. And drones is one of them.
Sharon, from your perspective, are the solutions to these problems that some of them Ed just enumerated there, are those, I'll pick noise, for example, is that a technology issue? Is there a technology solution to that? Or is it more of a how you operate things solution?
Actually, it's some of both, but definitely it's an education issue. His mention of the public knowledge is a major concern, particularly for those of us that are drone pilots. In fact, a lot of what you see on the news is generally negative, and that's a huge opportunity is educating the public. To your point of going to your local store, or ordering it online and bringing it and getting it home and opening up the box and putting it in the sky, that's exactly what we don't want, because what most people don't realize is that when you're flying a drone outdoors, you're flying in the national airspace. So therein lies why there's got to be rules and regulation. Just we wouldn't want to fly away with others that don't know the rules of the road. We need everyone understanding how to be a safe pilot and how to operate an aircraft in the national airspace.
So I'm a gadget guy, and you'll be happy to know, Sharon, that I have long since abandoned my desire to be a drone pilot. That's not happening. I've worked in data and cybersecurity for years. But, you know, I haven't talked to any entrepreneurs who said, you know, I can't wait to incorporate drones into my business. So who's going to do that once you get beyond the large enterprise? Or will it stay at the large enterprise level?
I think you're seeing it at various levels. So let's start with the large enterprise. You certainly have major corporations like Dominion Energy that's using it for this infrastructure and inspection and management that I had talked about. You start looking down into the smaller organizations, and they are dealing with more delivery. How can I meet a customer base that may want my product? A perfect example, again, let's do the wing work with Virginia Tech and the Mid-Atlantic Aviation Partnership. One of the first users of it is a confectioner in Christiansburg, Virginia, that within a radius around Christiansburg, Blacksburg, customers can call in. I would like, and he picked a perfect use case. Those of us, like myself, you forget a special event for your wife, you call them up, they load up a drone with some wonderful chocolates or cookies, they fly it to the house, and in fact, there is demand for that. So you could see it for micro-package delivery, if you will, in a commercial sense. And then you're also seeing it with organizations, public safety organizations, law enforcement, traffic management. VDOT in Virginia is being very forward-looking in the way they want to incorporate drones for traffic assessment, incident assessment. But as Sharon said, the FAA, we're flying in the national airspace, and working out those rules with the FAA is critical to make sure we're safe and secure.
Yeah, Sharon, you know, I know one of the missions of Women and Drones is to bring, obviously, interested women into this sector to help grow it, because it is a rapidly growing and very attractive opportunity for people. But, you know, who should be involved? And I guess that goes a little bit to the idea of, you know, if, with the FAA regulating it, not everybody should have a drone. So who should be involved in this new industry, and how do they get involved? What are the opportunities for them to do so?
Well, as one of the fastest growing sectors of aviation, the opportunities are endless. And it really depends on what your skill set and experience level is in terms of getting involved in the industry. Because there are going to be rules and regulations, because there are rules and regulations for flying in the national airspace, whether you're a commercial pilot or even a recreational pilot, your door is wide open as to who should get involved. But the real opportunities, and in any given day, you can check job postings, and we're seeing over 6,500 available jobs out there within just the drone sector. I would say that anyone that has a skill or talent or knowledge or experience within any of the STEM categories, there is more than likely an opportunity for you within the drone industry.
What about entrepreneurs?
Well, I think there's a number of opportunities for them, for entrepreneurs. It's interesting, in a number of states, you're starting to see it at the Chamber of Commerce level, because there is this swell to incorporate drone technologies in some type of service offerings. So you look around, and there's the national organization, AUVSI, and that brings both in technical and business opportunities for entrepreneurs to get engaged. So we're very much, when we look at companies and we think about investing in what they're doing or in their technology, try to move them to a number of different industry associations to get involved, because their voice is important to get heard. There is going to be a lot more regulation in this area because of legitimate concerns around safety, security, privacy. And it's important for entrepreneurs to get involved through a chamber, through an industry association, to work through solutions to these issues. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves in a very rigid regulatory environment that could slow the growth of this industry. And we see a lot of opportunity for the industry.
Now, yeah, I want to piggyback on this, because mm-hmm. this is a very important point. You know, Sharon, from your perspective as a pilot, do we have the right regulations? And if we do, do we need more? Do we need different regulations? If we've got too many regulations, what changes do you think need to occur?
Well, I would say that we're on the right track. We certainly need regulation. We're talking about flying in the national airspace. You're talking about integrating a new community of pilots, both commercial and recreational, in with other flying aircraft. I mean, drones fly in the same airspace as passenger airplanes, helicopters, hot air balloons. And so, yes, to answer your question, yes, we have regulation. Do we need more? I would say we need more guidance and education around what's in place, as well as we're going to need more, because in order to integrate all of this and really incorporate it into our everyday lives, yes, we do need more regulation to help frame for us how to incorporate all of these different type of aircraft in the same sky.
Okay, I'm going to give each of you, you know, the chance to paint your picture of what's the world going to be like. And, you know, when we're at the end of this path, we've got drones fully integrated, you know, we're rolling up to George Jetson's house. What's the world going to look like at that time? And then how long do you think that's going to be? So, Ed, we'll start with you.
Okay, that's great. I actually believe for the aviation side of unmanned systems, we deal in maritime, vehicular, aviation as well. I think that's going to come along a lot faster than the other ones. When I take a look at it, you're going to see a whole variety of services offered that integrate drone technologies. I do believe it'll be used in emergency management to help law enforcement, first responders quickly assess what's going on in an incident before they have to bring in some cases, a human that could be put in danger's way. I believe you'll see much more package delivery, that you will be able to call up and order something quickly and a drone will fly in there. What it will look like to me is going to be very well orchestrated, though. It's going to have to be well orchestrated. So you're going to see the states working with the FAA, as Sharon said, to get the appropriate level of guidance. Without going the other way, one of the things that I don't see happening is every locality having their own laws, because that'll make it almost impossible to navigate across there. So I think you're going to see a lot of delivery-based services around this. You're going to see a lot of emergency management integrating drone technologies. And I do think you'll see those businesses where they are putting workers in potentially harm's way, inspecting high bridges, inspecting high electrical facilities, using drones to replace that in a very orderly fashion on that part. I'm optimistic. I think it's going to offer up a lot of opportunities, growth. I loved what Sharon said. If you're a student coming out with a STEM background, the opportunities to understand control systems, flight, policy formulation, it's going to be really a great time for them.
Great. Sharon, paint us a picture.
Well, to build upon what Ed just offered, flying the crowded skies, I think it will also be organized. I envision where it's going to be lanes in the sky. So much like today's highways that are on the ground, I would say that the work that the FAA is undertaking and bringing in the necessary constituents, both here in the States as well as with our partners around the globe, to have a more organized approach to incorporating drones. So if you can imagine having HOV lanes in the sky, or I would refer to it as localized traffic will fly below a certain level, and then you've got your high-speed traffic, and then above that you would maybe have your passenger and cargo. So I would paint the picture that the skies will be crowded, but just like today, I think at some point we'll be totally oblivious to it, because it'll be organized, so well managed.
Sharon Rossmark and Ed Albrego, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you for listening to the BBB National Programs Better Series. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to the Better Series by visiting our website, bbbprograms.org. Then click on the podcast tab. You'll find all of our episodes there, where you can listen on your Apple Podcast app or your favorite streaming platform.
You just enjoyed the Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BBB_NTL programs. Send your comments and ideas to podcast@bbbnp.org. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests. not those of the BBB National Programs or its affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.